Like, it's fine.
Not so funny.
But they're being very supportive and lovely.
Yeah.
Who's reading the synopsis?
I can.
This
one. Yeah.
Okay, sure. Cool.
Mm-hmm. All right. I've got it open. Yep.
These cameras are so close.
Oh, we can move it. I can move it back if you want.
No, that's all right.
I think it's good.
Mm. It's good for
Oh, don't. Yeah. Oh, sorry. I think.
No, I'm turning this off because I thought I did, but I didn't.
What the fuck is with air cons? Do you know what I mean?
They're so confusing.
Like, why do they just turn? Like, sometimes they'll turn on and then they just close again.
You literally have to, like, be like,
stay there,
take your time, and then, like, wait ages and then not press too many other buttons.
It's so silly. My TV just turns on.
Mm.
And what does the snowflake mean? Does it mean it's going to be colder? Or does it mean it's full when it's
cold? Apparently it's like,
who has a bit about this?
Apparently like the drip or whatever. It's about humidity. So you a little bit. Drip.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was like a throat gargle.
Yeah, I know. And I get those. Yeah. I get those. So, all right, we should stop.
I have a cavity.
You have a cavity?
I think.
Go to the dentist.
Yeah. Well. What is that?
All right.
What's a cavity mean? Is that a hole?
Hole in your
cavity
tooth.
In my tooth.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
I was like,
what is a cavity?
I thought a cavity was something you got from the dentist, nothing you go to the dentist for.
Didn't we talk about this recently? Didn't
probably.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy how much I'm not retaining information these days.
Crazy. That actually is crazy. It's like level. It's like grade 7 earlier. It's like years.
It's like when the first time you go to the dentist, really.
That's like Harold the dentist. Oh, no, sorry. That's not the first.
Yeah, the giraffe.
Did he deal with
the giraffe was drugs.
No, the giraffe was dentist.
No.
No, I think he was Harold. He was just health.
Harold was the healthy health.
I actually don't think I ever dealt with Harold. Like I think I skipped because I went to so many primary schools. I think I left either before or after they'd already got Harold.
It was like so exciting. It was the best thing. And then he told me, I remember he was like, you know, when someone asks you if you want to have a cigarette, you just say no. You're like, I'm allergic. And I remember thinking that was like so smart. And I was like, I'm never going to, it's like, I'm just going to, can't wait to try that line and tell people I'm allergic. And then look
and
at
did
me
you,
now.
Is that what you do now?
Yeah. I've just been smoking for like 15 years.
Even though you're allergic. Yeah. Okay. Ready? Mm-hmm. Welcome to sex.
And the sex.
In the sex. Sorry, we've just all had a bunch of carbonated drinks.
Carbonated drinks, and salami, like, salumi.
Chips.
In the sex, yep.
This is Sex in the City podcast. My name's Autumn Wolf. That's it.
Cool.
No.
You always do that. You always bully me for my name. Like, cool. What
Guys,
a cool
I
name.
I feel like crazy. I feel like I've just had like raspberry cordial kind of vibes. I'm Irving.
I injected you with meth just before, so that's probably why.
Why do I feel so crazy? Okay, I'm Irving.
Great. Do you guys want to say your relationship to Sex and City? Or?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Wow, me and Sex and City go way back. I've watched it. I've watched all the episodes probably multiple times, but it's Irving's bit to say that she's watched it many, many times, so whatever.
I watched it so many times
that you vomited.
I watched it too. It was the first time I saw like boobs on screen. Not the first time, but I've seen Samantha's boobs a lot.
Yeah. We always used to watch it at like 11 after my parents went to bed.
Mm.
Who's we?
Me and my sister.
Oh.
my name's Jordan. Oh, I already said that, but I am watching them for the first time now.
Wild.
Missed it.
It's still crazy because I just realized you hadn't seen the last episode at all.
No.
Wow.
So how did you happen to miss it? Have we gone through this ever in the pod?
I think just like I know my parents would watch it occasionally, but they just never did it.
Mm.
They just never got into it.
Wrong. Yeah.
Incorrect.
Bad.
I think they just, it was like, I don't know. It just didn't, it wasn't a good time.
Yeah. I think my mum watched it, but it was also just on. And also my cousins, I think, went overseas and got a bunch of like the box set illegally or whatever. It was all just those copy discs. Kind
yeah.
Of thing,
yeah.
Like pirated. And my brother used to always watch it as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Feels good.
My mum also goes to sleep at like 7 p.m.
Yeah. So jealous. That's awesome.
It's crazy.
I know.
It's
does so she funny. Really?
Yeah, she does. She loves it.
How many hours does she sleep a night?
Well, she'll wake up at like, I don't actually know what, she wakes up pretty early. Mm. Sometimes she'll push it, but like, it'll be like,
sucking?
I've been sitting down there at 6 p.m. and she'll be like, Time for bed.
Oh my God, that sounds so fun.
That's crazy.
Start calling her lazy or something.
Lazy, yeah.
Lazy
bitch.
So early.
I think that's so good that she can just sleep so well.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It hasn't passed on.
Yeah.
It was weird when I was staying with her at that like health retreat. She was like losing her mind over how much I wasn't going. And I was going to sleep earlier than I usually do. Mm. She'd like roll over like 11 p.m. and I'd still be on my phone. She'd be like, this is why you have headaches.
Yeah, my parents always think I sleep like for not that long.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh. It was also funny staying at this retreat with mom because it was like, because mom and I have a good relationship, but I remember we used to fight all the fucking time when I was a teenager in particular. Yeah. And I was like, God, it was just like, I was a teenager. It was crazy. And then like, I told mom about like pages. I was like, yeah, I think I want to do my like morning pages every day while I'm here.
Shit.
And then like third day in, she goes, how about your pages?
Oh, God.
And I was like, it's coming.
So never tell me.
I will do it. Not. And then like every morning she'd be like, when are you going to do your pages?
Like, no, God, it's so annoying.
And I'll be like,
ah! Every time I go back home, which is like every weekend, like that. It's fucked.
Just never tell me what to do ever.
No.
I'll never do it.
It's so funny because she's the exact same.
Yeah, exactly. You know this.
It's, yeah, grow up.
And they're just looking out for you.
Oh my God.
You
know
they literally are. They're probably just being nice. But
and also just probably worried about you being like, you should be doing, like, you know, this isn't is what this you're your doing.
Job? Yeah, it's like exactly. My dad was being funny on the weekend because we were like, we went shopping. And
sorry, just imagine your dad in like a Charlie Chaplin hat.
Being so crazy. He wants to go through my budgets and he's like, let's just go through like what comes in, what goes out. And I'm like, it's not good. He's like, just look at like what you had saved this time last year and what you have now. And I'm like, bitch, I don't want to look at that. It's like literally, it's not gonna be good. And then he's like, he was just like trying to understand because in his mind he's just like, okay, so I just don't understand. And he's like, okay, so you're invest. He's like, you're working 7 days a week, but you seem to not have any money.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and he's like, okay, so you're investing all this time. What's the returns? And I was like, I get to like live my dream life. And he's like, but how do you know your dreams are worth it? He was literally just point blank. He's like, but what if it's not worth it? And I was just like, yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess that's the gamble.
That's like what I fucking stay up all night worrying about every fucking day of my life. But like, it was just like, I had to laugh because it was so funny. And then later he was like, but he was like he was just in a weird way being sweet. He was just like, just trying to like comprehend.
Mm, yeah.
He's like, but how do you know it's worth it?
That's the awful thing, isn't it? Is that it all comes from a good place of like love and anxiety around your children and they just don't understand. The best life. I know. But then it was also like us not being able to take any of that. Like, it's just so emotional and so much pressure. Like recently when something happened to me, I was just like, well, Alex and I broke up, but like, you know,
this is a month away.
We might be back together.
We never know.
But I immediately was like to my mom, I was like, I just need you. Like, she was like, oh, you know, there for me. And I was like, because she's a practical person. She's got a, you know, she's an accredited family lawyer and, you know, Order of Australia medal recipient. Anyway, we don't need to go into it because I already exposed too much about my family on this. I was just immediately like, just don't talk about like my future and all like fertility or like anything like that whatever, or else I'll like lose my mind kind of thing. And she didn't. She's like, oh my God, no, I would never want
to
put, I would
flag
never,
it.
Yes. And this is the thing. She was like, I would never want to make my family, my children feel like they have any pressure on them for their like futures or whatever, or that, you know, that they need to do things or I'm expecting a certain time.
Oh, sure.
And then I'm like, but you do, I listen to you talk about everyone else in the family. And I know you do it with me, but I really appreciate you saying that because you're never going to say it to me, but you're going to say it to everyone else.
I love the intention.
Yes. And that's, but it was so funny. She was so loving towards me about everything. But then every now and then she would just say these things that like immediately maybe like break down crying, being like, you know, and you'll have to work out like if who's got the cats and like if they need to be rehomed or whatever. And this is like me just telling her this kind of thing. But because she is
She
has been a family lawyer.
She's still thinking of it as like a domestic crisis mode.
Yeah. or even I was like, oh, don't worry, he hasn't cheated on me or anything like that. It's just, you know, whatever. And she's like, well, you don't know that. And it's like, and the issue is she is very smart and she is pragmatic and she's also very loving, but just being like,
You don't know that.
And I'm like, yeah. Well, no, I don't. But like, I assume so not.
Funny.
I don't think he has. And that it's like, it's just so like, funny. I do love this. I love my mom. I'm like, literally. What a, so smart. Seconds, like, so smart.
Seconds later after doing this, like my dad was like, we were outside trying to get out money from the ATM. And this guy who was like, he had like VB. He had like two massive slabs of VB in his trolley and like olive oil. And that was it. And he was like, not quite right. Went up to my dad. He was just like, fuck this credit card, like at the ATM. And my dad's like, how can I help? And I was just like, don't talk to him, dad. And my dad's got that's the mask. He's like super like immunocompromised and stuff. And this guy's just like, and he's like, I don't know how to use my card. And my dad's like, okay, let's go through it. I'll teach you. And then he's like teaching him how to use his credit card. And then this guy's like, doesn't know how to use his card. And my dad's like, but hang on. Like, do you know this is a credit card and that your interest rates are way higher if you like take out the stuff on this like credit card rather than the debit card? I'm like, dad, he doesn't like one. No one can understand through your like mask, but you're like going through this whole lecture of like interest rates on a credit card to this like hope. Sorry, I don't feel like to say that.
Homeless
anymore.
Person, unhoused person. But no, that's actually so beautiful of your dad.
Can we blame that?
No, that's fine. Yeah. Like I think that's like, such a beautiful story about your dad.
It was actually really cute, but it was just like so.
But also so frustrating to, like, and yeah.
Give financial advice to someone who's just like, bro, I literally just like don't know how to use my card and like not listen to interest rates. So
that's funny. I know. But that's a really beautiful story.
It was cute. It was cute. Yeah.
Your dad just being like, oh, how can I help? And then just being like, now I do want to educate you about interest rates when it comes to credit cards.
He's like, do you have any other card? Because it's you're going to like get charged heaps more. And this guy's like in one ear out the other.
I mean, the charges are fucking high.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know that that is a thing. So if you take out money from your credit card.
Oh, yeah. You can't take out cash from your credit card. I've definitely paid. And also if you pay for anything that's like an overseas company or whatever on your credit card, it does there like more money comes out or whatever, like there's a charge, you'll charge a certain fee because I was doing that for ages for like like Amazon Prime or something. Anyway, but it's good to know something.
Are you serious? I don't know what I'm pointing. So
are you serious?
So if I have Amazon, I'm paying more.
No, I don't know what it was. It was just some kind of company where I was like, where you would rather pay on your debit for things like in person. You can pay on your credit card and you can.
I don't even have a credit card. Yeah.
Well, good. You don't need one. I mean, I do.
And some credit cards don't have international transaction fees.
That's what it's
called.
I'm
just not going to bother with credit cards.
If you don't need one, don't do it. Yeah, like, you don't need one.
Yeah.
It's only good. It's good if you like sometimes you get free overseas.
Yeah, my dad has them.
Insurance, blah, blah, blah. With certain credit cards, but it's not necessarily if you're not doing that.
Yeah.
You don't need a credit card. I convinced you to get credit cards. I'm working for the bank.
What do you reckon? No, don't worry about it. The cool people have it. It's cool. okay.
Should we read the synopsis?
Yeah. Fucking hell. That was like 20 minutes of just talking shit. All right. So this is called, this is episode, season 6, episode 5. Of Sex and the City. It's called Lights, Camera, Relationship. All right. So KGF Visses says, the summary is, Carrie drags Burger along shopping to Prada. Yep. And brags with a check from her publisher for success in Europe. But is KGF Visses an AI? Is this like early
maybe
AI?
Maybe he is.
Because that is like early though. Like, early AI, right?
Like when you would text and be like, what does Bongo know on a wolf? And then they'd be like, Bongo knows on a is Carrie Grammar.
Yeah. Don't tell
that was
my
just
secrets.
A bunch of guys.
Was it?
That's impressive. People used to, I remember like when I
would they
turned,
get the
like,
money from the
stuff.
Text?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's a good business plan.
People got, the text cost money. And also like there were people just working for Bongo. Like, and they were just on computers looking stuff up. Because sometimes it would take time.
Yeah.
And sometimes they would have heaps of info and sometimes they wouldn't have any. And it wasn't because we always thought it was a computer or something, but it was just some like people.
Maybe
like students.
So maybe KGF Visses is an AI. It's just a man.
It's just a student
person.
Who's been charged.
He's a journalist.
Where are you?
What? Oh my God, we never looked it up. We never
I'm
looked up.
Google. Are you looking it up?
Is it a.
Wait, how do you spell his name again?
Well, it's KGF space V-I-S-S-E-R-S.
Yeah, I'm just going to look up. Yeah, that's what I've typed in. Yeah, plot matching or plot author matching KGFS's. Yeah, that's, we know that already. But it says KGFS's profile, imdb.com journalist.
Okay.
Wow. It's like how a lot of people call themselves comedians.
Yeah, yeah.
Including us.
Yeah. And actors and podcasters.
Oh my God. Yeah, content creator.
I want him to be AI, actually.
No, no. Okay. Wait. What?
No, nothing. I'm going to watch Love on the Spectrum tonight. Sorry. I just...
Okay, let me finish this. I got to finish this. No. It's my fault. I started. So, all right. Yeah. Carrie drags Burger along shopping to Prada. And this is where you need commas. And brags with a check from her publisher for success in Europe, but learns then her publisher dumped both her supervisor, Courtney, and Berger when he takes her on a rather wild bike ride. She freaks out. Miranda still wrestles with her feelings for Steve. Charlotte feels like a basket case after Harry dumps her.
Sorry, that's so funny.
When Samantha learns Jerry has dropped his waiter job to do a terribly bad paying play outside Manhattan, he can only lure her to it by promising hot sex afterward. She decides to help him by doing its PR. Fucking hell, this is the worst one, I think. Based on the fact he goes full frontal in it and aces its premiere. KGF aces.
Okay.
Thanks, journalist. King. Journalist.
Wild, wild.
What if he's writing in another language and it's beautifully written and it's Google translated?
I generally think there might be an element of Google Translate or something in this.
I think it's some sort of AI thing. Humble brag, but what I did this week when I was really bored at something, I don't remember what, I was Googling myself and then I saw that. So this article that I published from my honors thesis about like this poet, Mina Loy, no one's ever going to read this. But then someone quoted it in Hungarian and I looked them up and there was like a Hungarian history professor from like a university there. And they were like, Irvi says this.
Oh, my God. So you got quoted.
And I was like literally wasting. So I don't know what job I was at, but it was like, I was like Google Translate. I was like copying and pasting the like Hungarian article into Google Translate and stuff. Yeah.
That's so good.
Thanks. That's fucking awesome. One person read it. So.
That's good. A Hungarian person.
A professor.
Yeah. Because I told my sister and she was like, oh my God, that's so good. Was he a student? And I'm like, no, bitch. He was a senior professor at a university.
What uni is your sister at again?
She went to Yale and she went to Australian University.
Shut up.
No. Fair enough. Yeah. I just love that you still listen to this podcast. It makes me feel more like a person. I don't know.
She listened to all episodes, listened to like 7 days straight because she had to pack up my whole parents' house by herself.
Oh my God.
Yeah, she said it's really cute. She said sometimes it's more fun than calling me, so that's good.
That's funny.
That is funny. Yeah. So what was your themes for this episode?
I have two because I thought one of them was going to be pretty obvious for all of us, which is men being threatened by women or just like something along those lines.
Yeah.
And then the first thing that came to my head is department stores are dead. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know that I guess I thought they were in like a Myers or something like that, but they're in Prada. But it's part of a bigger like department store, right? When she goes, are you guys hearing me?
I am, but they're not completely dead.
Yeah, they're dying.
They're definitely dying.
Someone should shoot them. But I wish they would come back because I kind of love it. Like I weirdly like, you know, when you walk through all the stinky perfume area and stuff like that, it's like
the whole world.
Yeah.
But you know, it's also really depressing. Sorry to interrupt. No. But I just think that like, I feel like things like Prada and Gucci and all those places, not that I shop in those places, but like even just like less top tier fancier brands, I feel like things are just so shitly made recently. It's like, and then the prices are still as expensive. So it's like, you can't even like, I feel like in the past, because we only got clothes on our birthdays or Christmas or whatever, which is, you know, great. But like, I think we weren't like an over consuming kind of household. But then when we did every now and then, like when we're getting older or whatever, and mum was just like, fuck it. We would like get like you know, Australian Melbourne or whatever designer clothes that weren't crazy expensive, but they were really well made. And then you, the whole premise is to like take care of your clothes, to resell, to get, you know, shoes like on sale, but that are a good brand and well made, and like to look at all those things and get them resold and like all that kind of stuff. So you're not just constantly buying stuff and like blah, blah, blah. And, but I just feel like recently I've just noticed that clothes and stuff are just shitly fucking made. The material's shit. They're shitly made, but they're still so expensive or more expensive. Even seeing like these luxury brands with like fucking, but they've like got like lounge wear, but the lounge wear's still shitly made. Like, I don't know. It's just, it's like frustrating seeing the fact that kind of like, like sweatshop type like creation of clothes or like fast fashion has gone into, like, you know, even like fucking like Gorman's bullshit now. You know what I mean? Like Gorman was like always kind of a bit shitly made, but it's like, of course it's shitly made. I don't know. Like,
and really just like nice stuff. I don't even know how I can afford it. Cause sometimes when I go shopping with my friends who like have like expensive taste, it's like, I'm like, it's like, I don't know, $400 for like a shirt or whatever. And it's like, in what universe am I ever going to be able to afford this?
Well, the issue too with that is like, and that makes me do like online shopping or like the Outnet or something. Like if I have like an event or something going up, I like, and cause you can return shit if it doesn't fit or whatever, even though I hate doing that. But like, and I, it does make me want to be like, okay, so like what, and like I look up how it's made and like all this kind of stuff. And then I'll spend, like when it's on super duper sale, I'll spend money on that. But I won't go into the department store as much unless it's like, I don't know, designer space doesn't even exist anymore. But like stuff, shit like that where it's like, I don't know. It's just, but now I'm trying to make my own clothes. I'm going to try and make my own clothes. I don't know. Like, yeah, it is shit because it's so expensive, but then it's like, is it even worth it?
But Maya and stuff, sometimes I never go in there, but then now sometimes it's actually cheaper because they're like desperate to sell shit.
True.
I've gotten some shoes for $50.
Oh, so good. Yeah, I've recently got some like staples that are like high quality items that I got so fucking cheap because no one's in Maya.
Well, even actually, general pants. Like I went, they always have like these fucking sales, and I got that really nice dress that I wore on my 30th.
From General Pants,
and that was like nice on sale for like $120. Like, which is, you know, not that expensive for like a
nice.
Well, it's expensive for a dress, I imagine, from General Pants, but the dress was like actually quite nice.
Yeah.
But well, I don't know if it's well made, but like it's nice, and I got it for like $30 because it was on crazy sale. Good. So they're all dying, but like we're taking the profits. I don't know. It's just weird. I don't know because it's like who's benefiting from poorly made clothes.
It's like ridiculous. Like I just think the I never really noticed the cost of living stuff, but I think with like groceries and just like everything, like everything's just, I mean, this is like dumb and boring conversation, but everything's really expensive, and I guess like every facet of life being that is hard.
Yeah, it's bad when like washing detergent is so expensive, you know what I mean? It's bad when like fucking Twiggy salami is like fucking $12.
Yeah.
Or even Jalna. Like Jalna's gone up in price so much. Like
so much.
Oh, it's
like,
crazy.
And I saw cheese.
Like, yeah, cheese.
Cheese
as well.
Can get fucked.
Yeah.
Chocolates. It's like $12. Yeah.
But it's crazy that it is making me want to be like, okay, if I could ever have a place with a yard, of course I do a like fucking vegetable patch and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like someone who like, I don't really like to garden that much, but I'm like, I will do it just to like save like cost on like lettuce. You know what I mean?
Literally.
Like, why the fuck not?
There's no point buying vegetables from the like supermarket. Well, it's like, just go to any market. It would guarantee save like at least $20.
Yeah. Well, I went to Toscano's like recently, which is like supposed to be like an upmarket, you know, grocer that's like really quite expensive. It costs the exact same amount of money as Coles. So, and it's also nicer food, nicer quality, everything. So I'm just like, fuck it. Why don't I just shop at Toscano's now and
Coles
get like really
fucked.
Fuck those guys. Yeah. And did you see that guy, the Woolworths guy or whatever?
Disgusting.
Doing what?
He did a Four Corners because they're doing an inquiry into it, and it's just a big Four Corners thing. And he had, it's a CEO of Woolies, and he was getting interviewed. I haven't watched the whole episode.
I also hated what he wore.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. He's sitting down for this interview, and he's wearing like the Woolworths like cashier shirt, and he's wearing a name badge with his name on it.
Oh,
just Brad.
I'll pull another one.
Yeah. You're just like us.
A lot
fucking
of
asshole.
I feel like people are catching on more to the bullshit, like as in like everyone is catching more on to the bullshit that we see in so many different ways that things are presented to us.
Like 100%.
Or maybe we're just getting older, but it feels like, I don't know. It's just,
no, I think people are catching on better because I think we were sucked into like the like Steve Jobs of it all, being like, he just wears a turtleneck and jeans. And it's like, no, he's a cunt.
He's actually a billionaire. There's no way you can be a billionaire and not be psycho.
Yeah. Swifties.
Swifties, literally. Yeah.
Read it and weep. No, whatever.
I know that happened this weekend.
It was crazy.
It was crazy.
I just don't like Taylor Swift's music that much. No. I like Olivia Rodrigo's music.
Oh my god.
Music.
Literally was just like talking about this. Oh no, I was listening to the podcast about this, but they love both. But like Olivia Rodrigo is
so good.
The minute she comes to Australia, we are going.
I'll 100%. Fucking go. Absolutely.
Whatever the fuck it is. And we're going and we're just like screaming.
If your sister wins the lotto, she gets her tickets on her.
She can get it. She can private jet us.
Yeah, come on.
Evie and I on a car trip from Melbourne to like, where was it? Phillip Island. Yes. And there was this other guy, Ben Searle, who's like, he's great and very into like the indie like punk scene in Melbourne. And we were like, yeah, we're just going to listen to this whole album. And he was yeah, okay.
I'm so obsessed with it. Oh, you know, and like Linktree, how you can choose like backgrounds.
Color
background.
I actually just saw this.
Like the themed one.
Yeah.
The themed one is like guts, and it's like, and then I was like, I'm just gonna get it. Like, who cares? It's like not my branding.
But I feel like even musos. Like guts.
Is that lame? I think it's gonna.
No,
I don't know what that is.
Like, I think it's great.
I'll show you. It's like it just has. It's like pretty much a literal Olivia Rodrigo branded background.
Oh fuck yeah! But I also think musos like it's same with like Billie Eilish. I feel like it's a similar camp with Olivia Rodrigo, where it's like the lyrics are like for Olivia Rodrigo. The lyrics are. Let's see.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, she's good.
So cute. Lyrics are great. Good. She's a really great singer. She's got a good vibe. Like I don't know whoever the fuck like. Does like her videos and shit like that really fun teenage angst, well done. Dream. Great dynamic kind of
making
in the music
the bed.
And fun music as well.
It's so fun. The lyrics are really smart and they're soulful and the songs
and they're not too
like,
try hardy either.
No,
and she's having a good time, like especially
she
when
cares.
She's like doing funny shit and she's like, oh, my boyfriends are gay.
Yes, it's so
every
relatable.
Boy I've ever liked is gay.
And you know what? And she actually feels like a person.
Yeah,
she I does. Think that's where Taylor Swift feels like a
bot.
Yeah.
Boring.
We
keep going.
Like 20 minutes.
Oh my god!
And we have to talk about this episode.
Okay, fuck.
So the Prada shirt.
The Prada shirt. The special reddish shirt.
It's a nice shirt.
Yeah, it's of the times.
It would have been nice material. I think up close, it's nicer than it looks.
And it gets a little case as well, which is nice. When she presents it to him, it's in like a little case.
Yeah.
A box or a case?
True.
I can't remember.
It's see-through. So yeah, it is a box, I guess. Yeah.
Oh yeah, like a hard
It just
plastic.
Seems like a case.
Yeah.
And then she shows off her advance.
Which is a lot of money.
Check.
Yeah.
But also that's where you do need to be like, yeah, having a partner that's in the same field and you're like, look at all this money I have. Like, I don't know. Like I would be.
That's what I wrote down. That was my theme.
In
the same field. It's like, it's a tricky one because it's like they get your field better than others, obviously, but then also it is like sensitive, I guess, and you're like, but
yeah,
it's
even
lame.
Even with my partner that's in the same field, and we're so celebratory of what each other's ex-partner.
Yeah.
Oh my god!
Oh my god.
No, but we're so celebratory of each other's things and like want the best, and both of us would always be like, fuck, I hope you like make it so I can live off your coattails, kind of stuff. But every now and then there are things where you're like. Oh, not that I need to downplay anything, but this might make that person jealous. And then we also would always say, oh, I'm a bit jealous about that or whatever. And it's like, fine. You know
totally,
what I mean? But it's
yeah.
like, but even just like being, acknowledging it and just being aware of it. So yeah, you don't want to be like, oh, look at my massive check. But you want to be like, oh, I actually made quite a bit of money off that book or whatever. And then it could be like, the partner could be like, oh my God, yeah. Like, tell me how much was it? And then you can be like, yeah.
I feel like though, if someone showed their check to us at brunch, we'd be like,
yeah.
Like in terms of just being like, let's go out. You know what I mean? Yeah.
It depends if it was the kind of person that would.
Also, if you've just been fired by your agent or like.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah, that's true.
But he should speak up. I just think everything about him is toxic, but also
just communicate.
He just needs to. I can see how that would be hard as well.
Also, if someone, like if I was like completely, absolutely broke, like I am, but and then someone was like. And if someone was like, hey, I would be supportive because their success has nothing to do with my failure. You know what I mean? Like,
no, and it's also, especially with partnership, like their success is your success.
Oh, like that. Oh, partnership. Yeah. But if it was a friend who was just like, if it was a friend who was like rich, No, I think it was just different to Carrie. It was a friend who was rich and then they made a bunch of money and they knew I was broke. And then they're like, I've just made so much money. Mm. Then maybe I'd be like, I don't think you're being very considerate of like the situation.
That's true.
But if it was like, hey, lunch is on me, I made a bunch of money, I'd be like, fuck yeah, that's great. You know what I mean? Totally. Like, I don't know.
That's what you should do. Yeah.
That's Well, you don't.
You don't have
to. I also think it's like that again, that's just going. I think I talked about this in a couple episodes again, but just being like, oh yeah, my situation, no one else has any responsibility over it. So they're allowed to, everyone's allowed to exceed, succeed. Everyone succeeds at different times. It's all fine. You don't want to be a toxic bitch about it, you know? Yeah. But like you don't want to be a burger in this situation.
No. I think it is like, I think the scripting is really good because it really, it's like not that subtle, but it is, I guess it just plays out that complication because it's like, yeah, when she says something about like as the roles are shifting, like can men keep up with it? And it's like, I think to this day they still struggle.
Yeah, yeah. It's still a very modern concept that women can read.
Totally. And I feel like that's like, what I was saying last time when it's like
the women
like
are smart.
Yeah.
Or as smart as men.
But I feel like it's sad because when we, you know, that the episode ages ago when Samantha's like, women just go around thinking like we, and men go around thinking me. Dick.
Literally.
Yeah.
Actually,
I feel
though,
like women are like, I don't know if this is like very binary. So I just feel like we're always like, this is like your success will be great and my success will be great and we can like plan everything together. Whereas like men just like, what about me?
It is absolutely that, 1,000%. Yes. Like I think that is especially in heterosexual relationships. Yeah. It's totally the woman being like, you see it with like parents. Yeah. Like it's always the mum being self-sacrificing. It's always the mum being like, okay, well, whatever. And her role is always assumed as well in those kind of relationships. Your role is always assumed in like heterosexual relationships. And I feel like not always if you've got a good partner, but I mean like there is an and even from society, your role is fucking assumed. Like totally. It's like there is, it's so awful. And women are thinking about, and just in terms of like our roles, like growing up, it's like, you know, who buys the presents out of the three siblings of, you know, me, my sister, and my brother. Damn it.
No, I'll fucking say it. Connor and Liam never buy any fucking presents.
Yeah,
it's always me.
And you know what's frustrating about that as well? It's like, you're the eldest, but even if you were the youngest, you'd be doing that. Yeah. Like, absolutely. It's like Phoebe, fuck. My sister's like the middle child and yet she does all of the organizing and everything like that. And it's just like this, I mean, Thomas, anyway, whatever. There's different situations at different points of life, but, you know, that's just that's what's like put upon people.
Totally.
It is also interesting with Berger and Carrie. I feel like they really live out that like thing from that Bell Hooks book all about love where it's like women when they think about love and this is like very binary but I think you can catch on where we're going but like women think about love as like something that they can give whereas men think about love as something they receive
they can take
yeah
totally and it's like yeah I think we're just like not wanting to put up that shit anymore so
yeah it's so true like it's just and even just thinking about even like past relationships or whatever it's like especially my first relationship all I was like I am yours I am here I'm so ready I'll give everything you know what I mean and then it's like they don't give a fuck about you like you know what I mean or even if they do it's more just like how do you fit with me rather than like coming to the same like, I don't know, coming together. It's weird.
And I feel like it's sad because you kind of want to, I just think back to like when I was in uni and I was in like a pretty toxic relationship and like we both wrote poems. And when I got my poem published, which was like a big deal back then, he just like didn't come to the reading and like just like didn't, he was just like playing footy. And
that's
like
fucking psycho.
Like literally my best friend had to come at the time. And then like, yeah, like anytime we did like class presentations and then when it was like my class presentation, he just like stayed at the class before and just like didn't come to class that day.
What the fuck? Fucking cunt. I take it back. If my friend had like gotten a publishing deal and was like waving a check around, I'd be so excited. Like what am I like actually talking about? And that is how we act in those situations. I'm always like, yes! Like, and it is like whatever. Like I wouldn't be... Like unless I was on my period.
No, I think this was specifically gendered as well.
It's always it's
like,
gendered because
all we studied was like men poets and it's like, wow, you got like published or whatever and it's like a huge
what deal. A fucking cunt. Yeah. Oh my God. And also I'm like, if Berger had gotten a publishing deal or whatever, Carrie would be over the moon. She'd be talking about it with everyone. She'd be so excited.
Yeah.
And if Berger had bought her an expensive dress, she wouldn't be like, I don't need this. Like, yeah. It's also you're being sexist towards your own gender. Totally. Like, you're being sexist towards, like, why can't you get a gift from, like, your partner who's just made a bunch of money or whatever? Mm. I think the only weird thing about it is, like, it's pretty soon in the relationship and it's a lot of money. And that's the only awkward thing, like, where you could be a bit awkward about that. But also they just made a bunch of money. And you could also be worried about Carrie's spending habits.
Yes.
And I feel like it was also, like, in the context of her being like, I want to buy you things. Mm. Like, she got him the shirt and he freaked out and she was like, I got you this though. And her being like, don't worry about me. Mm. Like, in that, and she didn't know the given circumstances. Yeah. She didn't know that he didn't have, like, in her mind, he still had another book advance coming in. Totally. Like, they were on equal playing field. I think obviously if she'd known that, she wouldn't have said anything.
Totally.
But also, like, it's a gift.
Yeah. Take it.
If, you know, if my friends are ever rich and buy me stuff, that's great.
But I think, like, he also is like at that time, and even like now, maybe not so much in, like, you know, in a city, Melbourne, but like people look down on guys that, like, let, it's like you need to, like, man up and, like, pay for shit or, like.
But it's just so dumb though, because I'm like, why wouldn't you want to receive presents from your partner?
Yeah.
And also Carrie's not expecting sex. It's it's not even like pressure, like, in terms of like, you owe me now. Like, it's not even that. And yet women, you know, like, especially in a heterosexual relationship, it's like you accept gifts and then you, like, are expected to, like, give or whatever.
Yeah, put out.
It's pretty
fucking, oh my God, men are fucking so dumb. I'm so mad. I know. Like, I already know all this stuff, but it's just crazy to see it in this context and be like, ugh. And then later on being like, no, that is fucked. So yeah, anyway, whatever.
It's so fucked.
It's also just so aggressive how he responds, you know, showing up to her house because they're all going to this opening night of the play of Smith Jerry's play, which is organized by Samantha, because she's like, you want to be an actor? I'll make you a PR thing. And I love that. I was like, Samantha, I love this relationship. I love that she's like just being like, let me make you an actor. Oh, you
this
want me
is
to
why
do it?
Jerry Smith, or whatever his name is, is such a good partner.
He's so great.
He's kind and he's younger or whatever, so he doesn't care about the like, this shit. Status bullshit. Yeah. He's like ready to be helped. And go on.
And he just wants to do his acting. Like, he doesn't even like want to be like, he's like, and she's like, I can make you a star. The way she does that is so PR. And so she's like, I can't help you with the acting, but I can make you a star. Incredible.
Also so hot.
We need, I was just wrote down, we all need a Samantha right now.
Oh my God, imagine.
Marry a Samantha.
I would fucking marry a Samantha and treat her like a queen.
Seriously. Oh my God. And but like the way that Burger shows up to pick up Carrie, and she's like wearing Prada, she has like, I want to say like a horse's mane purse in her hair.
Her handbag's fine. It's a
lot. So, but it's so funny it's the way so she's, funny. But like also in the context of him showing up in a motorbike and her having, I feel like the costume department were like, what is the worst possible bag you could take on a motorbike? And it's like, that's just going to drag in the fucking mud.
Matches her hair. She has like a long pony or whatever this, doesn't she? Did I make that up?
No. It does.
And then having to get
it is crazy, but it's a look. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's, and also I'm glad that she hasn't like downplayed her look since he said nice hat to her or whatever.
Oh my God.
It's like, commit to your crazy style, Carrie. Yeah. Whatever.
That's literally. Great. And then like, and then him just, and also he's all decked out in leathers. He hasn't got her a jacket or anything.
No,
if she fucking falls off, she's fucked.
She's dead. It's like, she doesn't have anything. She has like one helmet maybe.
And it's like, Carrie would actually be down for a motorcycle ride. Just give her a heads up.
Just like tell her.
Like,
he just wants to like surprise her and just be like.
Try and take control.
Yeah.
He's like, you better get on this bike.
He's asserting dominance. And also he's putting her in an impossible situation.
Yeah.
Because he's making her, especially in this time,
he's humiliating her.
He's humiliating her. It's awful, actually. It's like so abusive bad. In a way. Like, and also he's putting her in an impossible situation where it's like, oh, she's not down to go to the motorcycle. She's being an uptight bitch.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it is. And I feel like men do that to their partners all the time. Like, especially toxic men. Like, where it's like, not he's all good. But like, but I mean, other people like just being like, I want to put you in an impossible situation.
Yeah.
And even like male relationships, like not even like someone you're partnered with, like male friends do that. And they act in this kind of fucking aggressive way. And I've spoken to people I know who I work with about this when I've called out behavior as being aggressive and they got like so offended because they're like, that wasn't aggressive. And I'm like, yes, it was.
Yeah.
You don't know the fucking meaning of the word or like you don't know your behavior was aggressive. I'm not saying that you threatened me or like, you know, came up to hit me or shoved me. I'm saying your tone and your actions were aggressive because they were trying to hurt, humiliate, kind of confront, but in a way that's like, not just, oh, I'm confronting you. It's like, I'm confronting you, like that kind of shit. Where and that's when it's like toxic behavior, and it's all coming out of defense mechanisms and weakness. That's why men are fucking so funny, is because they're so weak. Yeah. And even through their aggressive, horrible behavior, it's fantastic. Because I'm just like, and that's why every now and then, even though it's so horrible, I just like eat it up because I'm like, fantastic. I love seeing how weak you are.
Legit. It's why it's so interesting seeing burgers, though, because I'm like, maybe we did see it a bit at the time, just thinking about other TV shows and stuff like that. But it's like interesting seeing like the like nice guy thing just fall apart.
He's even that nice, totally. Though, he's not Aiden.
Like, he's got inner demons or like inner.
Yeah.
And I think people who think they're funny do that a lot. Like it's just kind of like it's like, yeah, I'm just so funny and I'm just like gonna like charm you with my hilariousness. And then it's like actually you're a sick, sad weirdo on the inside.
And you love it.
You're a sick freak.
I felt so sorry for Carrie as well when she arrived at the theater and she was like, and she jumped off the bike and she was like, I told you not to go fast.
I'm so glad she punched him.
Yeah,
that was so good.
And she was like, I was digging, could you not feel my nails digging into you? And him being like, yes.
I thought you were enjoying it. Or
that's
excited.
A fucking lie.
You're a liar. Yeah. You just did it on purpose to scare me. Actually, fucking did this to me. When we were in Ballarat, sorry, ex-partner, but whatever you were, a cunt to me. You're probably grown now. Yeah. It's fine. But like, I remember once he was trying to like control me and we were driving back to Ballarat and he was like getting to like almost like 150 kilometers an hour or on his way to 200, like to scare me. And I was like, slow down, you're scaring me kind of thing. And was like doing it as like a weird abuse, that's manipulation, scary. Control thing.
Oh, yeah. That's so weird.
And I was already feeling so like power, like weird in that relationship that I was like, couldn't be like, you know, no. I'm going to try and like report this or whatever. Like, but it's still like behavior in terms of like trying to control me, trying to.
And it's also like you have
threat. It's threat.
You have
threat
no
as well.
Power. Like, because my dad's a rev head as well. And I'll be like, you have to stop. Like, I don't want to go this fast. Mm. And then he'll be like, it's fine. I'm like, yeah, because you're controlling the car.
Yeah.
I'm just that. Sitting here. I have no.
Yeah. And also I can't like go. Yeah. If you're driving that fast, I can't.
I take my seatbelt off.
Yeah,
do you?
Great.
Yeah,
yeah, to
that's
be
great.
Because then it's good. Like, if
I die,
then I'll die, and you'll think about
this
it every
is
day.
You literally,
he's not. It's
that's
never
how,
been.
That's how. I feel like that's just how like women fight. They're like, all right, I'll be a martyr. I'll fucking die.
I'll haunt you. No, he never got up to like 150 or anything like that. But it is that thing when you just express like I'm scared or I don't want you to go
and
this fast.
And imagine not. Stopping like that's what's like crazy, and that's where like men, it's like, what the fuck are you doing?
It's just such a weird thing.
Anyway, yeah.
We should rate the episode because we've got to get out of here. What do you guys rate this one out of 10?
Hang on, we've talked about nothing, surely. Like, surely I know, just like quickly, in like 2 minutes. Like,
well, we got to pack everything up. The guy starts here at 8:00, so worst comes to worst, we could do a part two.
Let's do a part two.
Okay, yeah. All right. Let's do that. Okay. All right. Part one.
Hold tight.
Well, we'll just edit it all together into one episode.
Yeah. Smart. Okay. Good.
Hold tight, guys.
All right. See you soon.
Bye.
We said end of part one last time, didn't we?
Well, we probably did. Yeah.
So we'll just go. Mm-hmm. All right. We're back. Let's finish the rest of this episode.
Yeah. So we have in this, so Miranda, in this episode, I love how just like the battle of the exes, I think.
Yeah.
I'm saying battle of the exes, but I mean just her battle.
Just her and her ex.
In a battle.
Who's not interested in her.
Yeah. So Debbie is Steve's new partner, and Steve, just a quick recap, it was like what Steve made cupcakes.
Miranda came into Steve's house. Steve was making cupcakes for a party. And I think she thought it was for another kid's party, or she thought it was for another kid's party or something at another child at a park or something. Yeah. But so she had this really loving moment with Steve because, you know, she loves him and she's realizing
and
that.
She just watched him fall asleep.
Yes.
She was just watching him sleep like a couple nights earlier.
Which is so funny. I think I talked about this before, but for some reason I always fall in love with men when they're asleep.
Because they can't hurt you.
Because they're vulnerable.
They're vulnerable, and I just feel like it's so, like to even be able to fall asleep around a man, it takes a while for me.
Fair.
That is so literally. Dark. As in like that makes sense, but then it's so dark to actually think about that.
Recently.
They don't know how to fucking breathe.
No, the last person I hooked up with, I accidentally said this felt good for my nervous system. Which is like, so like, they're like, okay, it's such a like TikTok pop psychology term right now, but it's like, it's all like these girls being like, if he feels bad for your nervous system, it's a no. And like, you're not meant to feel like on edge and like hyper everything all the time, which is what I thought love was. But yeah, apparently if you just feel like calm and stuff, it's good.
For I feel like that's good. If that is the advice coming out on TikTok, dude, fucking hell yeah.
Actually, it has revolutionized my way, my mindset around dating. TikTok has single-handedly done that. And someone else, one of my other friends, was saying this as well, because there's so many, anytime you think about like, you know, texting someone or something destructive, you can just scroll, don't text him. And there's like so many girls just being like, you're better than that. Like, don't fucking
yes.
do it. And it's actually been really good.
Also, you can just write it in your notes app.
No, but it's helpful if someone else says it to you. And they're screaming. They're like, don't you fucking do it.
Yes.
And they're so like, they're like, you thought that piece of shit who never takes you back is your soulmate? Could try again. And you're
it
like,
is
actually,
nice to have a sense of community, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think any of us would thrive from having like a life coach, but I think we would do well with a drill sergeant.
Yes.
Who like came in and was like, God, you'd be like, okay. And we kind of, and then like he'd crack a smile every so often and we'd be like, there we go.
Yeah. Or a judgy person who was like just really smart and you looked up to them and then whatever they said, they'll be like, oh, don't do that. That's embarrassing or whatever. And you'd be like, oh my God, you're so right. That's I don't want to be a fucking loser and do that.
Yes. If someone says it in a judgmental tone, like they know what they're talking about, I'm sold immediately.
Yes. Mm. Yes, absolutely. But then, yeah. So Miranda, she starts helping Steve because he's, you know, stressed and having a bad time. They're having a really, really good time. And then it's revealed that the cupcakes, no, he has to leave. Mm-hmm. And it's revealed, oh no, even before that, it's revealed that the cupcakes are for Debbie, but Miranda already said that she would help out. And she already was trying to act all cool with like Debbie being Steve's new partner. And then she just had to double down and make like decorate the cupcakes without him.
Yeah. I have been in those situations.
I
and you got to make the cupcakes look good.
You can't just be like, fuck you, Debbie.
Or you could just be like, oh, I didn't know it was for Debbie. I'm leaving. I thought I actually don't have time for this.
No, but then she's going to give away her card.
Yes, you
she's
going
to know because then she's going to have to. Okay, with
but
Steve.
She's not you can there. It's just with Steve. Yeah, she could just be like, you know what? I'm actually busy. Leave.
It does change. I feel like there's like I think the longer
I understand
apart,
why it would happen, but I don't think it should happen.
Oh, and Steve shouldn't have allowed it. Steve should not have allowed that. That guy doesn't know fucking butt from shit.
Yeah, no, but
the
he
way
did
he's
ask
like,
me
oh
sure.
yeah.
He asked if she was sure and he did say you don't have to do that. But she thought that she was like trying to get close to him.
She doubled down. She couldn't.
She did.
She couldn't show that it was making her uncomfortable.
No.
And all she like, she should have said after he said, are you sure? Or whatever. She should have said, oh, you're right. Actually, maybe this is a bit weird for me. And then go.
That's true.
But and she's too much. She's using all that energy to push down the fact that she still loves him.
Oh my God. Miranda. What are you going to do? What are you going to do about it, Miranda? He literally sounds like the old, like fucked up hormone monster from
what
you gonna do?
What you gonna
do?
From what's it from?
I want to say Underbelly.
Oh, I just said Sesame Street.
Sesame Street. It's similar. It's like Underbelly meets Sesame Street.
No, what's it called?
Puberty Blues.
No, but it's about puberty. What the fuck, Nick Kroll?
Big Mouth.
Degrassi. Big Mouth.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. Yes.
Jesus, fuck me.
Yeah.
I really feel for Miranda, but I also thought it was so funny.
What situation have you been in that you've had to do that? I mean, I can absolutely imagine it, but I just want to know specifically
if
there is a time that you remember.
There's like, I'm sure there's like more than this, but there was like one time where, it wasn't even like I was duped. I was like 20, maybe 21 years old and someone's girlfriend was in Melbourne and he messaged me being like, can you get some weed for her? And I was like, yeah. And I did not have a hookup or anything. And I like spent like a whole afternoon looking for weed, making sure it was good, asking people if it was all right. And then like getting to the place and like, and her being like, do you want to smoke it with us? And it made me like, no, I couldn't. I gotta go. I gotta drive. And then just leaving and then just sitting in my car being like, what the fuck am I doing? What the fuck am I doing? And just being disgusted. So
that's great though.
That's hilarious.
You're 22 or whatever.
When you're young, you do shit like that.
Yeah. But it was also like funny. Just sitting there being like hands on the wheel, like
This is why you hate yourself.
That's such a Broad City episode or something.
Yeah. Or like there's things that like I like doing things for friends, but I know that I have gone out of my way to do like insane helpful things for acquaintances or people that I don't even know.
Yeah.
Just because I can't. Because it's too awkward to say something else or to, yeah, anyway. And it's stupid and it's my own fault, but it is funny.
Yeah.
You do get into funny situations.
A lot of people have that.
Exactly.
Trouble. I don't. But also I feel like I'm the kind of person that would never ask because like, what can I do for them?
Yeah. Or it's also just like, it's a funny story.
Yeah.
I'll do stuff for people sometimes.
Oh yeah, but I'll go out of my way for like a friend or something. I'll research for like 3 years to find my friend like a perfect present. I'll spend like $1,000 on it, or like do that kind of thing, or I'll do whatever. But for an acquaintance, I'm like, I don't know you anything. I don't want to, but I understand the mentality. Around
yeah,
because I know some people like, one of my friends, he will he'll like go above and beyond for acquaintances because I feel like it's like for him it's like a people pleasing kind of thing but then for his friends who might bail on like easily.
That's or annoying. Just like, I don't rate that.
That's what that's I like rough. Don't want to do. And I'm also like, I don't want to.
You don't do that though.
But and it's that thing where
you you just please everyone.
It's fine. I just have a rash. But it's, it is. I do think, I genuinely, hand on heart, I don't think that I would have done what Miranda did, even though it's like a funny, cute, nice gesture. And I don't think any of us, I think that with any person that we did, if you found out that it was like for their new partner, we would be like, oh, actually. And I feel like we'd be comfortable after, like, I don't want to do this.
No, or like, exactly.
Actually, like, I take it back. No. I reckon I would do it. I think I would totally do that. Cause I think I would just be like,
you say this now.
Cause also I think Miranda's like babied Steve a lot or whatever.
And say this deep, now.
But yeah. But I mean, but in terms of like, you know, my current ex partnership or whatever, I feel like, if he needed help with something and we're on relatively good terms, or whatever, I would probably
help with his next girlfriend.
If you were still in love with him, though,
probably.
Oh yeah, that's probably more likely more to likely. Do it.
I can do it better.
Yeah,
fuck. Actually, I take it all back. Yeah, Miranda, I get it. Awful,
I used to say that.
Hilarious, though. So embarrassing.
I forget the fact that she's still in love with him. I probably would still do it too.
No. Oh, I guess so.
No,
I
don't think you would do it, Irvy. I reckon.
Well, I used to think I would, and then now I'm like, there's probably not.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think maybe it's a love fact. I guess if you love them, yeah, it depends what kind of love. It's like a brotherly love, maybe. But if it's like a I want to bang you love, then you could just be like, no. But also, I think if I was tricked into it like she was, then it's awkward to save face.
Yes.
To save face, I'd probably just be like, oh, it's fine. But
yeah,
she does get out eventually, though.
She she gets beautifully, beautifully. Carrie comes in and is like, "What are you doing?"
I know.
Because doesn't Miranda call her? She's like, "Carrie, this is what's going on." Beautiful friendship moment of being like,
"That was really
get
beautiful.
Get out of there.
Yeah,
get out of there. What are you doing?" And then Miranda was so vulnerable, and I feel like that's something that I think is really relatable to be like calling someone, being like, "I'm doing this thing and it's making me so upset, and I just am doing it," and then having a friend be like, "No, you don't need to do that.
You can go."
Yeah,
absolutely.
You need to be told sometimes. Yeah.
And Carrie was really gentle in that moment, which is nice. It is wild.
What was the other storyline moment to cover?
Well, Charlotte. Charlotte is, speaking of people who are still in love, Charlotte is still fucking burnt up about Harry.
Yeah.
And it's like bad. It's like, it's, she's just like.
It also shows, it also just shows like Charlotte's dating history.
Yeah.
Because the fact that because Harry's interesting, funny and like nice to her and like really values like her and thinks she's really hot. It's like she's struck gold. Like, and it just shows that she's obviously been dating dudes who are like self-obsessed and like, you know, narcissistic, rich people like who don't actually care that much about her.
She has.
Yeah.
And it's that like waspy like group that she's in where it's like, it's all like centering the men's like issues, even the way she dealt with Trey and stuff like that. And then even though she still kind of has trad wife energy, like, but she still has values herself, and that's where it breaks down because she's like, no, this is unacceptable.
Yeah, it's an idea of a relationship, an idea of a life, idea of a marriage, but not actually connecting with that person.
Yeah.
Except that they're like, look like a Prince Charming or something.
Yeah, totally.
But you know, like, I'm sure there's many different types of Harry or whatever, but I think that's why she's so broken up about.
Yeah.
We don't see many types of Harry. I mean, Aiden was pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
I can't.
But Harry didn't want her to change. Oh, actually, what am I saying? I'm like, Harry didn't want her to change herself.
But again, Harry's not like perfect.
Yeah.
But it's good enough. It's so much better for Charlotte. Sorry.
Totally. Yeah.
And it was kind of also, I was like, good, like kind of like probably good choice in terms of like sensitivity and stuff like that. But also like her journey is interesting in the way that like the women at brunch are like, are you just going to like, so are you still Jewish? And her being like, yeah. Like, because I feel like that is, it's like, I could imagine being the person at brunch being like, you kind of just did it for Harry. And then not really considering it's like someone, she went through like the whole process.
Totally, yeah.
Like she's Jewish now.
Yeah, she took, took ages.
Yeah. And she's like really tapped into it and she really like loved it as well. Loved the culture.
To use the term, I'm not a fair weather Jew or whatever.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
Fair weather is such a like waspy word, I feel.
Totally.
And anyway, it just feels very like showing a waspy. I don't know. It's just like, it's cute.
It's funny.
Fair weather Jew. Yeah. But,
and then she is, she's at the park with that other gay guy.
Oh. Anthony.
Anthony thinks about
And
the other woman. And he's like picking out hot guys for her and she's just like, sorry, but 2 weeks is like, and not to be rude, but to use both of you as, imagine if I took you to a park and was like, that one, you'd be like, what are you fucking doing?
2 weeks as well. It's like no time.
It's so, but also I think because
it's just in like a fun way.
But Anthony, I don't think connects with human emotion.
No.
And I don't think he considers women as real. I think he's one of those misogynistic gay men.
Yeah. I think it's no, Anthony and Charlotte is like a poor man's, Carrie and Stanford.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Or not just Stanford. Different dynamic.
I think they have more money than Carrie and Stanford. Yeah. They're like a rich man's Charlotte.
They're probably richer. but you know, it's not the same.
Yeah. I don't know about Anthony, but I feel for him. I think
he's got
feeling
a kind of like evil essence or something. Maybe not evil, but like he's got some sort of sinister.
I also feel like as much as Anthony fetishizes like Charlotte within his friendship, she fetishizes him. She's 100%. Like, you're my gay friend.
Yeah.
In that kind of way.
Totally. Absolutely.
And he's like, you're a Barbie doll, like an Upper East Side, like Barbie doll for me.
Totally.
She is.
Mm. She looks great.
Yeah, she does look good.
She's so beautiful. Oh my God. Jealous.
Stunning. Do you see I just feel like I've seen pictures of her recently on TikTok or like videos of her. And I think she's like dissolved some of her filler. I think a lot of celebrities have dissolved some of their filler.
Can you do that? You just suck it out.
No, you like you put in a like a dissolving solution or whatever.
And is it like really saggy after them?
No, it just looks so much better comparatively.
Because it does get to a certain point where it's like.
You can't see it.
But it's also like, are you just going to filler your face and the rest? It does, you can see people where it's like you look
ridiculous.
A bit insane unless you're going to spend, you're going to go in under the knife at this point to like make everything else like get tighter. So it's like release it a little bit and let yourself like, I don't know. And also because the people started getting Botox and filler at the start of Botox and filler being accessible.
Yes.
And so they're probably like dissolving old school shit too. It's same with like breast implants. A lot of people getting them taken out because like the hair dodge, like Yolanda
sickness.
Hadid.
Yeah. Just breast implant sickness or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Oh God. That would be so bad.
They literally like popped inside of them.
Yeah.
What are you looking at?
Looking up the filler picture. Sorry, this is like not good for... No, that's a different person. All right, don't worry. I'll look it up after.
It's fine.
It's fine. I don't know if she has... I just saw her on TikTok and she looks a lot better. And I think it's just because people would start... And it's also social media. So people are like, you look fucked or whatever. Yeah. And it's also just like, you know, different trends and shit like that.
Yeah.
Like when everyone was getting their like lips filled.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like... I feel like there's been a couple times where like I've either overdrawn my lips or like I've had an allergic reaction and my lips fuller than they are now does not look good.
No.
It ruins the balance of my face.
You just use a filter on.
Yeah.
Maybe try it with a filter on TikTok or whatever. But it's like they want me to go like it's like that and then. So it's a bad for you, listeners, but it's like so big that it looks just weird.
It just like unbalances the face. I mean, I'm sure some people look really good with it, but for me, it's like it makes my face look longer and it's already a long face. Like it's already.
Well, I think it's that thing where we get caught up in trends. So we start latching onto stuff rather than being like, what do I individually want or need.
What's evergreen for me?
Yeah, what's an evergreen filler? It is interesting. I think people are sort of shifting gears in terms of
something else as well. Like,
oh, Ozempic.
Yeah, shifting to Ozempic and then shifting to...
It's a pill that celebrities have been taking.
The diet pill.
The diet pill, yeah.
But it makes you, how does it work? Because does it make you nauseous so you don't eat?
No, it just, you have no appetite.
That's right. But isn't there nausea involved though?
I don't know. I reckon you would feel nauseous because you're not fucking eating.
No, because I think that's like part of it is like it makes you feel nauseous. And I'm like, I would rather fucking die.
If you felt nauseous all the time.
Feel nauseous.
Nah, that's no way to live.
And it's also crazy that like celebrities are using it who... like aren't even slightly overweight.
Oh, it's so fucked up. You know, there was an ad for Ozempic during the Oscars.
So funny though.
Oh my God. Are you serious? Yeah. And there's like a shortage around the world of it or something.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
People who actually need it, like diabetes.
And patients. People are, because it also,
of course there is.
It feeds into like the whole like anti-fat bias that a lot of like medical professionals and stuff have where a larger person will come in and be like, I'm having breathing problems. And they'll be like, it's because you're overweight. Here, have this miracle drug Ozempic. And then they have like lung cancer or some shit. Because
are you serious?
There's so many diseases that fat people die from that could have been prevented, but doctors will just recommend that they lose weight.
Oh my God.
And it's
serious?
Like, and that's like why the death rates of people who are over a certain weight is so blurry because it's preventable shit that isn't diagnosed. Anyway, I'm going on a tangent, but
that's crazy.
The Ozempic stuff is a bit like, it's fucking weird. I don't like it.
Well, it just feeds into like, eating disorder culture.
And it's so
like
throwback. I thought we were past that shit. I thought that it was like, that's what all the
movies. It felt like we were on the track and now we're fucking going backwards.
Because that's also, like 90s chic heroin.
Yes.
Shit.
Yeah. But it's also, it's a money thing too, because look, I think if you're severely overweight and it's, causing you issues or whatever, and you want to go on Ozempic and you're losing weight for that, whatever. But I think if you're a regular, like if you're at a weight that is like a suits your body or whatever, you shouldn't be given Ozempic. I just think it's like dangerous because I think it's feeding into body dysmorphia. It's feeding into anorexia. It's feeding to eating disorders.
Yeah.
We never get this serious on this podcast, but it is so fucked because then it's like putting pressure on people like people our size are going on Ozempic. You know what I mean? Like, imagine insane. If we were just like, actually let's start taking Ozempic altogether. Like, that's insane.
It is like just scary. Like, just thinking about like what would happen if you had access to that.
Yeah.
And just being like, and it is just like, to what end is what I wonder as well, where I'm just like, I'm sure what it'll plateau and like things will, I don't know. I just don't see. It felt like as such a, there was like occasional celebrities on it and now it's like,
well,
fuck.
It's hard.
Everyone is on it.
Well, basically, and you shouldn't you shouldn't be able to get it unless you
have diabetes,
or unless you are at a risk of diabetes or something, or like or you're severely like same with like a gastric, band surgery type thing. It's like if we were our size and we were like, we wanted a gastric band surgery so we could maintain a very, very, very skinny weight. Like that's, it's just.
It's fucking out of control.
Insane. But and also everyone's getting like big facelifts now,
not little bits.
Not little
bits.
What
do you mean?
Like pulling the whole thing up.
Oh.
Yeah.
Just like. So, which is bad as well. I mean, not that we need to. If anything, the good thing about filler and like pillow face and celebrities looking fucked was that it makes you be like, well, I don't want to look like that, so maybe I'll just age. You know what I mean? Whereas now like that's going out of fashion, which is okay, but then it's like all about money and it's like, okay, well, maybe I need to save $25,000 or $30,000 so that I can get a facelift when I'm 40.
I don't, because right before, like I saw Irvi before and we were talking about the amount of super you're supposed to have so that you can retire comfortably.
It's fucked.
Yeah.
Do you know the number at our age?
Have you told me? Yeah.
60,000.
Crazy.
Well, I guess you could use that for a facelift when you retire.
Yeah, literally all of it.
And that's what people do.
That's true. That's true.
And I hate that. Did Charlie say how he was like looking up? You can do like a calculator on how much super, if you keep going at this rate, like what age you can retire. And his was 98.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Well, but also,
come on.
But also,
we're all going to die.
We're all going to die before then.
Global warming is going to get get us way before that. It's fucking 40 degrees in March.
It's fine. My siblings.
I don't think we're ever going to be able to retire. I don't think the retirement's going to be. They've
been saying
day.
This for years. Yeah. My parents were talking about this when I was a child. You know,
We're not going to have pensions.
We're not going to have pensions. No, absolutely not. But then maybe there'll be a revolution or something like that. Yeah. Or maybe we'll be dead, or we can all live in our siblings'.
Remember when we thought there was going to be like a literal revolution with COVID? All those like conversations like late at night on the computer saying like, is there a system collapsing? Like, are we going to have a new world order?
It was sick.
It was kind of like crazy. I was like kind of like, obviously it was like terrifying and shit, but it was kind of like, it's like, when else have we experienced where it's like nothing goes, like everything's up in the air.
I think we're going towards that. I mean, like, like either like something's got to give eventually.
Yeah. It's that historical cycle as well.
Yes, exactly. Anyway.
And we're in eclipse season now, so who fucking knows?
Let's do that for the next pod. I want to talk about it.
Shall we wrap up our thoughts on this episode? Mm-hmm. Give it a rating?
Mm-hmm. Did we talk about Samantha?
We did. Yeah, we did. Because we talked about her PR and how amazing she is.
She's incredible.
She's incredible. I give this... do you know what? There was a lot of stuff, character stuff that I didn't really like. This season is starting to get really chewy in a good way. Like I'm biting off a piece of meat and I'm fucking chewing it. I'm going to give it an 8.5. I really love how shit Burger is. And because I also think it's really important that women were seeing that as well, especially women who were watching Sex and the City at the time. It's like watching Love is Blind or Maths and stuff like that. It's all fucking dog shit. But at the same time, it's like, people are talking about how that behavior is unacceptable, and it's like refreshing to know that people, you know, it's even with Burger would be watching that and be like, why? Because there's so much. Yeah.
You have to analyze it a little bit too, even though it's so obvious, but it's like, you have to be like, okay, because she's seeing him in a certain light.
Yeah.
And then, but then we're seeing him in a different light. You know what I mean? And then she's kind of, she's coming to terms with those kind of things. And then you have to kind of analyze, why is that bad behavior? Because it is bad behavior. Yeah. It's disrespectful. He doesn't give a fuck about you.
And I think you kind of, see his redeeming qualities. Like you can see why she stays and why she hangs out with him.
I think it's a complex. Yeah, I love this because I just feel like it's so relevant to us as well. But it is like a well-drawn up character and like it's not just black and white. So yes, I'm loving it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what do you give it, Evie?
I think I give it an 8. I feel like, I just love all the Burger trilogy.
Jesus, did you fucking glitch then, babe?
Trilogy extended potentially. But I love the Burger episodes.
I think Burger is,
thank God for Burger.
God for Burger. I think really interesting.
And I think it's a good way to like look at someone who's just, I know we had Aiden and stuff, but it's just good to get another meaty relationship instead of like a flight.
Yeah, and he's another writer, and Miranda thinks he's funny, like all it's that a hard kind one. Of stuff. Yeah. Well, I give it a 7.5.
Yeah.
Why not?
Why not?
Yeah.
It could be
one
honestly
point beneath you.
Every time I watch the show, I'm like, it could be my difference between 6 and 10 is quite small.
So there's a few episodes coming up that are like, I'd give a 10.
Oh, so, true. Yeah. Oh my God, I'm excited. Yeah. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.